Today's daf in Masechet Sukkah, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh, is daf Yud, and we're holding at the bottom of daf Tes Amud Beit, which is Omer Reb Yirmiyah. So yesterday we learned that a Sukkah tachat HaSukkah is possible, but, I mean, it seemed to be not taking into consideration what exactly the definition would be of a Sukkah tachat Sukkah. But as today, Rabbi Yirmiyah wants to point out, look, I mean, the fact that you've got two areas that you want to call a sukkah, one under the other, does not necessarily mean that one or the other is possible. Let me point out to you that depending on the circumstances, pa'amim sheshteyem kesherot, pa'amim sheshteyem pesulot, pa'amim shetachtona kshera ve'elyona psula, and pa'amim shetachtona psula ve'elyona kshera. Depending on the configuration of the heights and the schach of each one of them, you could easily come up with situations where either both are kosher, both are pasul, and the bottom one is kosher and the top is pasul, or the top is kosher and the bottom is pasul. So, you know, let's not oversimplify the issue over here. Let me explain to you what I mean. Echidami. Let's take a look at each case, okay? I told you that we can have a case of... Let's talk about Echidami. Kegon shatachtona chamata meruba mitzelta. And elyona is tzelta meruba mechamata. V'kaim elyona betoch esrim. So this would be an example of, at times it's possible, that shteyem kshirot. How is that? Pamim shteyem kshirot. So if you have the bottom sukkah having a schach which is useless on its own, in which case, for all intents and purposes, we can ignore the fact that there is schach on the lower sukkah. But the upper schach is kosher, and it's actually within 20 amas of the ground. So then what you really have is one big sukkah, right? Because only the upper schach is kosher. The lower schach doesn't exist as far as we're concerned. Okay, so if that's the case, anywhere that you're sitting within that height, you're sitting in the same sukkah. So if you want to levitate and sit at somewhere in the middle of the sukkah, or you want to play Quidditch or something there, you know, so that would be kosher as a sukkah because you're somewhere within that height. Anywhere within that height is kosher. So if you've got one person levitating halfway up, you know, and another person sitting on the ground, they're all sitting in the same sukkah. So even though it looks like two different sukkahs because you've got these, you know, supportive things in the middle that are holding up the other guy, whatever, that doesn't matter. It's really one sukkah. So therefore, both of them would be kosher in that case. Okay, that's the shteyem ksherot case. Now, sometimes I could give you an alternative where both of them are psulot. So pa'amim shteyem psulot, echidami, what would that case be? Well, that would be where both of them are tzel meruba michama. So because of that, you have now the sukkah on the bottom is pasul because it's underneath another sukkah. And the top one would be pasul in the event that it was kaima elyona lamalam yesrimama. If the upper sukkah's floor, which was the schach of the bottom one, is more than 20 amot away from the top, so then the top one is also pasul. Sometimes you could have a case where the lower sukkah is kosher and the upper sukkah would be pasul. And what would that be? Well, there we could have a case where the lower sukkah is tzelata meruba michamata. So we have a kosher schach on that lower sukkah, okay? And in that case, that sukkah ought to be kosher if it's not a sukkah tachat sukkah. How would it be it's not a sukkah tachat sukkah? The elyona would not be a sukkah because it would have chamata meruba mitzelta. And therefore, it would not be a sukkah on its own. And in this case, it would be talking about Urkaimu Tarvayu Betoch Esrim, that both of them were within 20 amas of the ground. And therefore, the upper sukkah is not considered to have schach posel, which is going to be mitztaref with the schach posel, the schach kosher that's beneath it, in order to produce that tzelta mirubah bechamata on the bottom. Okay, remember that that's the way the Tosfos and the truth is, you're Madaik and Rashi, both understand that a tziruf of schach is only a tziruf of schach where it's needed. So as I threw in the words that in that case, that the bottom one is tzelta miruba mechamata, it means it's miruba mechamata, even though it's inclusive of the upper schach. So then that means that the upper schach has to be kosher schach in order to be mitzarif, right? That's why we have to assume that the sukkah must be betoch esrim, because otherwise, if it's not betoch esrim, so then it would be schach pasul, right? So therefore, says Rabbi Yirmiyah, it has to be within 20 amos in the ground, because otherwise I would have a problem of being mitzarif schach pasul, bahadi schach kosh. Now this is the way that Rashi learns, and note that it contradicts what we said before in the name of the Ritva, which is that in cases where the only reason that schach is pasul is because it's 20 amos of the ground, that is not considered to be a psul that is innate to the schach. Remember, we had that whole discussion? And therefore, it would not be a problem of tziruf. The Ritva indeed says that the girsa that we have is wrong, and that the chiddush over here is that kaimo, the tarvayo, is not true. And what it should say is even kaima elyona lamala miyesrim. And as we're going to see, according to Ritva, that's the whole point of the chiddush here. We'll see in a moment. That even though you would say, if we need the schach on the upper sukkah, which is lamala miyesrimama of the ground, to be mitzuraf together with the schach of the lower sukkah to provide the tzelta meruba michamata, it doesn't matter. Because that schach is actually kosher schach. It's only its location that's not kosher. But since we're using it to be mashlim, the schach on the bottom, which is kosher, and it is betoch esrim, so who cares if the bottom line is that because of schach kosher, you have tzelta meruba michamata on the bottom, it would be okay. Pa'amim. And I also said sometimes only the top one is kosher, the bottom one is pasul. Where would that be true? That would be true where both of them have tziltan meruba michamatan, and therefore the bottom one is pasul because it's underneath the upper one, and it's a sukkah, tachas ha-sukkah, and the upper one would be kosher because it's betoch esrim of its own floor. So the roof of the lower sukkah, which is the floor of the upper sukkah, is not 20 amot from the upper schach. Okay, so therefore it's obvious that if you analyze correctly the cases, you can't just jump to a conclusion that you look at the way the building is and it's automatically a sukkah tachas a sukkah. And obviously it's going to depend on the construct. Says the poem, I understand. Any kindergarten child knows that. Pshita, I mean, why? I need Rabbi Yirmiyah to teach me this? You can figure it out just from the simple logic of knowing the dinim. No, because there is one case that's a chiddush. And what's that case? The case where the tachtona is the kosher and the elyona is pasul. That's where I need it. Why is that? Because remember what we're saying over there is that we are going to be mitzarev, the upper schach to the lower schach, and we're going to use it to make the lower sukkah tzilta miruba michamata. So therefore, we might think, now the way that Rashi learns and the way that the Ritva learns are directly opposite each other in this piece. So Rashi learns like this. You might come in the similar case where actually the upper schach is more than esrim, right? So you might come, therefore, to include it and be mitzarev schach that is posel because it's lamala miyesrim to provide the shade for the lower sukkah, and in that case it would be posel because you're also using schach posel. Kamash malan, that in this case, since the sukkah is lamaisa, not lamala miyesrim, therefore we don't make such a gezera. The Ritva says exactly the opposite. You might think that because it is lamala miyesrim, and we're allowing you to use that schach, to be mitzuraf with the schach that's underneath it. So you might think in a case where you really do have schach pasul, what would that be? It's something that's mekabel tuma, or it's mechuber lekarka, whatever. And there you would say, well, I saw them using schach lamala miesrim, which is really usable only because of the fact that it isn't pasul in innately pasul. It's only pasul because of the coincidence of its placement. And therefore, you'll come to actually use schach pasul, kamash malan, that we don't care. You see how beautiful it fits in, according to the Ritva and the Gemara. Each one of them has a completely different approach to what's happening over here. Now, okay, so now we see that we can create different scenarios in which either the upper or the lower sukkah is kosher, and even a scenario where both are kosher. Of course, technically speaking, the reason that they're both kosher is because there's really only one. But it looks like two. So you have two sukkahs, basically all one big sukkah. That was the first case. Okay, now the question is like this. We're saying that there is some type of new psul that the Torah is giving us, and that is that even though everything else is equal, you have perfectly okay schach, perfectly okay height. The lower sukkah is going to be pasul because it's under another sukkah. So explain to me what you mean by under another sukkah. In other words, at one point or another, obviously the upper schach is going to simply be part of the lower schach. I mean, what would be wrong if I have two level layers of schach? I mean, why would that be pasul? Only because we define the upper sukkah as a different rishus or a different sukkah, right? So, I mean, how much space does there need to be to define that upper schach as a separate entity which would pasul the sukkah that's beneath it? Amrivuna, look. An ohel is defined as a tefach, right? I mean, that's what we have in ohelot. The basic definition of an ohel, shkematzino ba'olei tuma, is a tefach. I mean, that's the Mishnah. That's not. The Mishnah in ohelot is the classic definition of like ohel. Tefach, al tefach, berom tefach, meviet atuma, chotzeitz bifnei atuma, avopachot berom tefach. If you have less than a tefach of height, it no longer acts as an ohel. It neither allows the tuma to stretch along it to cover all of the area that's underneath it, nor does it prevent the tuma that's under it from breaking right through, which tuma does, and it simply radiates upward and downwards. So it's not a chatzitza. Okay, says Ravunas, you see from the Mishnah very clearly. For something to be a roof, it needs to be a roof over an empty space of a tefach. That's the bottom line. So if we consider the sukkah under the sukkah to be a problem because it's a sukkah underneath another construction, then it must be a tefach high to be a sukkah under another construction. Avo pochot mirun tefach, then it's not considered to be anything. Rav Chista, Rabba Bar Ravuna say no. It's got to be four tefachim because in all of the dinim, when it came to Shabbos and to Erevin and to the concept of a chalon that we were talking about even, all of there we said it's not considered to be a mokum that's chashuv if it's not arba'a tefachim. So the fact that technically it's a tefach in terms of an oil hameis doesn't mean that that's what we should consider to be the shiur of making it a different sukkah. So fine, so it's considered to be a tefach. Great. So it's as choshev eschach, but fine, but it's still be choshev eschach to be mitzuraf with this schach, and I'll see it all as basically schach. That's the point. It's got to be four, because otherwise it's not significant in terms of its distinction. But then Shmuel says, what are you guys talking about? What's the psul of sukkah tachas ha-sukkah, gentlemen? Sukkah tachas ha-sukkah. So the upper one has to be a kosher sukkah. I don't understand how you... Is four tefachim called a sukkah? Is one tefach called a sukkah? In order to be a sukkah under a sukkah, it needs to be a sukkah on top, no? A sukkah on top is defined by ten tefachim, the same way the sukkah on the bottom. I mean, how did it become a sukkah if it's only one tefach high? Remember, the lashon of the pasuk does not say, do not build your sukkah under any other type of oil. It says, basukat teshvu. Make sure it's a single-storied sukkah. Okay, fine. So over here, if I don't have 10 tefachim above it, that defines a separate sukkah. I don't have a two-storied sukkah. So therefore, ma hekshera kaksula is the my time of the Shmuel. Ma hekshera ba'asara. af pesulaba asara. So it makes no sense to say it would be a sukkah under a sukkah. Says the Gemara, well, now wait a minute, Shmuel, I mean, the Mishnah doesn't say this. It's not. Take a look at Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, which we never explained, and it seemed to be crazy. We had the Mishnah yesterday that said, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im ein diorin ba'ol yonah atachtona psula. If nobody's living in Kshera, if nobody's living in the upper sukkah, then the lower sukkah is kosher. Now, that is an absurd statement, right? It can't possibly mean what it says. I mean, how do you understand the word, if nobody is living, okay? I mean, what, you think it literally means nobody's living there? I mean, what difference does it make? Diorin? Auto diorin? Kogarmi? What, it's the people that are living there, they make the difference whether a sukkah is kosher or not sukkah? Where do we ever have such a concept? Nobody needs to be in a sukkah in order for it to be called a sukkah. So we're obviously not talking about not having people living there, yes, having people. We're talking about El Alav Mai Ein Diorin. It means kosher ena ru'uya ledira. Any sukkah which is not usable for usage by people, what does that mean? Ena ru'uya ledira. I mean, hechidami, I'm assuming that it means it's not 10 tefachim high. So therefore, it is not a usable sukkah. So then that would mean Rabbi Yehuda is agreeing with Shmuel. But that means that the Tanakama of the Mishnah, who says, no, it doesn't matter, yesh diorin, ain diorin. Apparently the Tanakama holds, even if it is not ru'uya ledira, it's still possible. So then that means that the Tanakama is saying that even if it's less than 10 tefachim. So Shmuel would then be saying, I don't agree with the Tanakama, the Mishnah. I mean, that this makes sense. Diyata, Rav Dimi, Amar, when Rav Dimi came to Bavel, he said, back in Eretz Yisrael, the way they explained this Mishnah, Amri b'ma'arava, that the meaning of Ein Diorin is not that it's not 10 tefachim high, the way you guys are learning. It means it is not suitable for supporting the diur. So what it means is, im ein atachto na yecholah lekabel karim uchzator shel elyonah. You can't put down the cushions and the pillows and bedding. You can't put it down. Why? Because it's not strong enough. Or because the schach is on the lower one is prickly and not usable, whatever the idea is, that's what it's saying. That therefore, since it's not usable, it's not called a sukkah, which basically is what Shmuel is saying. Same idea. So Reb Yehuda is saying nothing about the shear of the height, and when the Tanakama argued, they weren't arguing about the shear of the height, so he wasn't disagreeing with Tanakama. Well, I don't understand. How does this help? So what are they arguing about? About whether it needs to be a real sukkah. But that boils down to the same issue. What's the difference whether you call it 10 tefachim or whether you call it the problem of being insufficiently strong? The bottom line is that Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakama would be arguing about whether it needs to be strong. So then if that's the case, they'll be arguing about whether it needs to be usable in terms of 10 tefachim. I mean, by turning our attention away from the 10 tefachim issue, you haven't changed anything, because the fundamental question is still going to boil down to whether Shmuel is right. Does basukat teshvu imply that the upper one would have to be a usable sukkah or not? So then again, you're still leaving open the question that we asked on you. Namely, that Shmuel seems to be agreeing only with Rabbi Yehuda, and the Mishnah is arguing on him. The Tanakama, the Tanakama, Rabbi Meir is arguing on him, right? So, isn't it still true, asks the Gemara, that Michlal, the Tanakama, Sover, Afa, Pisha, Einaru, Uyala, Kabel, it's still possible, right? So then the same thing should be about the 10 tefachim. No, says the Gemara. What we're trying to say is this, that in actuality, everybody agrees. Even the Tanakama agrees. Of course, a sukkah tachas a sukkah has to be under a usable sukkah. So the only thing that Rabbi Yehuda is saying that is different than us is that if it's ena ru'uya lekabel, is what he's saying is that if it's not really set up in such a way that it's ru'uya lekabel normally, that's what Rabbi Yehuda is saying, even that is okay. Whereas the Tanakama says, what does that mean? Is it theoretically usable? Can you find like a place on the floor that you could put it in? Or could you use lighter pillows and cushions? I mean, as long as it's usable in some way, ayadei atchak, it's going to still be a sukkah tachas a sukkah. Rabbi Yehuda is only arguing on a detail. And he's saying, no, if you can only use it ayidei adchak, that's not a real sukkah. So he's saying, even if it's difficult to use, that's enough to make it a posel of sukkah on top in terms of the dinim of sukkah tachas ha-sukkah. And Masha Enkin, the Tanna Kamma holds, no, sukkah tachas ha-sukkah is any type of usage. But both of them agree fundamentally to the Shmuel idea, namely, kehekshera kach psula. Whatever makes a sukkah is necessary in order to make it a sukkah, to pasul a sukkah under it, mitam sukkah tachas a sukkah, and therefore Shmuel will argue that the Mishnah is 100% backing him up. And now we are ready for our kapitan. Rebbe? Was that okay? Or since it's during the 9 days and you're not allowed to really give good music, we should be macabre. Okay. So I guess for Tisha B'Av it's all right. Piras alea sadin mipnei hachama, o tachtea mipnei hanishar, o shepires agabe hakinuf. In all such cases, it's possible. So let's say somebody puts a sheet over the top of the sukkah in order to prevent the sun from drying out the, I forgot to tell you something I wanted to tell you about the sugya before, which is that there is a connection of the sugya to the original machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan, according to this. Does a sukkah have to be a diras arai, which would be the reason why the Tanna Kamma is saying even if it's really difficult to use that upper sukkah, it's still a sukkah? As Rabbi Yehuda, we just said, tends in the direction of sukkah's kva, because the old sukkah l'malam yesrim is kosher. So because of that, he would say that, well, I mean, if you could barely use it, that's not a sukkah that's strong enough, right? So it fits in with the shitas of Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanna Kamma back in the beginning of the Masechet. Okay, sorry, I just forgot to mention that. Anyway, over here, you've got kosher schach. Now, you take a sheet and you put the sheet over it to make it a little bit more shady so that it shouldn't be so hot in this sukkah, or you make it there in order to prevent it from drying out, or you take a sheet and you put it under the schach. And the reason you put it under the schach is because there's leaves that keep falling onto the table, or there's pine needles, or if they're spraying against bugs, there's bugs that may, that may be falling on the sukkah, as Rabbi Barnea is shaking his head, as we will remember. So in all of those cases, it would be possible. And for that matter, if you spread a sheet over kinuf, now kinuf is a canopy bed that has four, it's a four-poster canopy bed. So you put a sheet over those posters at the edges of the bed. In all of these cases, the sukkah is possible, and that's because if you have the sheet, which is not kosher l'schach, if you put it over the schach, then it's going to passel the schach that's beneath it. But why is that? Because if you have a schach that's on top, that is not kosher schach, and it would provide for you tzel, so then that means the schach that you're doing is not considered to be there because it's not necessary at all. That's how some of the Rishonim learn. Or the other case is, if you've got the sukkah underneath it, then you're not going to have a sukkah that is shaded by your schach. There's a roof, basically, which is your sadin, which is beneath the schach of your sukkah. Now, the question is that necessarily the case? Because, look, as Tosis points out, if you're ready to accept that you could spread out a colored sheet as a decoration under your schach, as we're going to see in a minute, then why can't you spread a sheet for purposes of preventing bugs or leaves from falling on your table under your schach, since that's basically just a additional support that's needed for comfort. What's the difference if it's comfort or if it's decoration? These are just ancillary to the roof issues. And because of that, it should be no different than the case of Lena'ota. And he doesn't accept Rashi's approach. And he says, look, why should it be possible just because it's considered to be additional help to prevent people from being uncomfortable from the heat of the sun if it's on top, or if it's from leaves falling if it's on the bottom? That is no different than something that is decorative. Because of that, Tosfos understands that the sugya over here is because of the case at hand. And that case is that without it, it would be, in fact, chamatam ruba petzilta, if you wouldn't have had this, the sheet here. But why would the sadin passel it if it is actually kosher schach on its own? It should be mevatel to it. So therefore, I mean, like Rabbi Natan is understanding that the problem over here is it would have become chamata meruba mitzilta. And that's why you're putting the sadin there, because otherwise the leaves would have withered. So then basically you're going to end up using a sheet instead of your kosher schach. And a sheet is possible for schach because it is not, it's able to be makabel tuma. The underlying question here is probably as follows. There's a machlokas as to what the reason is that if something is there for decorative purposes, that it's considered to be kosher. Some learn the reason it's considered to be kosher is because as an ancillary to the issue, it's actually bottle to the issue. So if it's an ancillary to the schach, so it's bottle to the schach. And therefore, it shouldn't be considered to be something else. That if that's the case, then that supports Tosfos' question on Rashi. Because then if it's ancillary to keeping the heat out or whatever, that should also be okay, right? What's the difference if it's ancillary in terms of decoration or if it's ancillary in these new ways to in terms of additional protection and so on? But there's another beautiful approach, which I'd love to read to you, which is the Rashba, the Tshuvas HaRashba. Tshuvas HaRashba has this glorious approach. The Tshuvas HaRashba says like this. You know what? Maybe it's a little bit too long. I better just paraphrase it. Okay, but you should look it up.
Oh, no. Now that you said it's glorious, we have to
hear it. Okay. Okay. So he says, Iker dvarim elo nirali, v'shu'u mimashekatuv basukot teshvu, which we're going to darshan, means teshvu ke'en teduro. Okay? So now let me ask you something, says the Rashba. If a person makes ikar tikrato, that's what's considered to be the ikar ceiling has to be psolet goren v'yekev. And that's going to be your house. Now, let me ask you something. You build your house, and you have this very strong roof that's made out of solid concrete, okay? Do you use the solid concrete as your ceiling? No. You may put up beautiful, decorative, engraved wood. You might put up wood slats to give it a, right? Whatever. So therefore, in the same way that you would do that, lefisha adam noten betikroto, all kinds of things, korot mitsuyarot, dvarim acherim. So when the Torah is talking about what the top of your sukkah is, it's not talking about what the ceiling of your sukkah is. It's talking about what the roof of your sukkah is. Isn't that brilliant? So if the roof is kosher schach, what's the difference? In your house, you would also put up all types of beautiful. Isn't that gorgeous? Alon loves it too. It's really so beautiful. Okay. From a designer's point of view, of course, it's perfect. So why would anybody confuse the issue of the decoration of the roofing to be the roofing, right? And it has nothing to do with it being bottled to it. It's that wasn't what the Torah was talking about. Masha Enkein, if you've got a hang, you've got a hole in your roof, you've got to hang buckets on the roof. That's not going to be bottled to the roof. That's a substitution for your roof. Perfect. So that would be the way that Rashi is learning, right? Okay. So it's really, really very sweet. Okay. Anyway, so continuing on, this would actually explain the other cases. Therefore, so we have two approaches, Rashi's approach and Tosfos' approach, that are very, very different. The other case is in the Mishnah This is where you've got four poles. But what if you don't have four poles? What if you only have two poles? So if you have two poles, then what you've got is something that is not really a ohel, because it doesn't have a top. Therefore, continues on the Mishnah to say that this is dafka agabe kinuf. It would be puzzle. But you could put it agabe naklite hamita. Now, the naklite hamita is a two-poster bed. And what you do over there is you basically, you spread mosquito netting, right? So if you need mosquito netting, you don't need a four-poster bed. What you do is you take a broom, you put it on one end and a broom on the other end, you clip it onto the bed, and then you put something above it, a wire above it, and you spread your mosquito netting on, that goes down along both sides of the bed. That's all. And that's the best way to put on mosquito netting. So if you would do that, says the Mishnah, then there would be no problem. Because in that case, what would be the issue? You're not in a different tent, are you? Like you would be if you put it on top of a four-poster bed, then you're sleeping under another ohel. You're not in the sukkah. You've defined a separate reshus in the sukkah. So once you define a separate reshus, okay, that passes it. But if it doesn't have a tefach, it's not a separate reshus. And therefore, if all you've got is a wire with mosquito netting coming down the side, then it would be okay because you're still in the sukkah and not in a separate ohel. Omer Rav Chisda, this whole jazz that we said about it's being puzzled because of the fact that you spread a sheet, that's not really going to puzzle it. It would only be puzzled if it's for usage purposes. But if you put it up there for decoration, then it would be perfectly kosher. Let's say you have this beautiful colored sheet. It's got all kinds of beautiful designs on it. Do you want to put that underneath your schach? What's wrong with having a design under your schach? So then it would be kosher. Says the Gemara, well, I mean, any idiot knows that. Read the Mishnah. That's what the Mishnah said. It said if you put a sadin underneath it, bipnei hanishar, specifically for purposes of protecting you from falling leaves. Doesn't that mean that it's okay if it's for decorative purposes? So mipnei hanishar tanan. What do we need Rav Chisda for? Says Rav Chisda, no, you do need me. Because ma'u detema, I could certainly have made the mistake of reading the Mishnah as saying a sheet of any kind would pasul it. And actually, even if it was decorative, afilu nauta, and I would explain that the reason that the Mishnah stresses mipnei hanishar, it's not a stress. It's just to give you an example of, like you would, You would put things up there in order to catch, but it doesn't matter, even if you put it up there for other reasons. Kamash Malan Rav Chisda is coming to tell you, look at the Mishnah as being very definitive. It means precisely what it says. If and only if the reason that you put this schach, the sheet there, was to serve a purpose with the schach, but if it's decorative to the schach, it would be kosher. Is there a raya from the following braita to what Rav Chisda said? If you had kosher schach on your sukkah and then you put on all kinds of decorations, v'itra, you then decorated bikramim u'besedinim ha'metsuyarim. So let's say you put on these beautiful cloths that are like colored, banners. Or you used your sheets with different designs on it, or you put up either nuts or almonds or peaches or pomegranates, or you took clusters of grapes, or you had grain that was made into little crowns. Yenot shmanim slatot, you had little bottles of wine or oil or fine flour. In any of those cases, which we see all the time, people do this. You want to put up the shivas haminim. So sometimes you put it up in little bottles, whatever. The halacha over there is you are not allowed to use those things because you were mikatze them for the sukkah, and therefore you can't take them away from the sukkah to use for other purposes, and you won't be able to use them until after Shmini Atzeres, Ad Motzei Yom Tov Ha'achron Shel Chag. V'imitna aleihem, but if you made a t'nai, when you put them up, and in the Gemara elsewhere it says that t'nai consists of saying, Eini badu mehem kol ben hashmoshes. that I am intend to, I'm not being miyachid them for the sukkah because I may want to use this oil, or I may want to eat these peaches, or I may want to sleep on this sardine, then, and I'm thinking that the whole time that Ben HaShemarshas is about to enter, that way it doesn't, we don't say mitok shuuksa Ben HaShemarshas, huksa l'kol ha'kulei, that would be the Tanai. So that would work. But anyway, we're not interested in that right now. What we're interested in is that we're taking for granted that you could put up all of this stuff under your schach and your sukkah is completely kosher. And that's what Rav Chisda said. No, wait a minute. I mean, it doesn't say it's hanging under the schach. I mean, maybe what it means is that it's on the side of the sukkah to decorate it. Doesn't mean you can hang it where you're sitting under bottles of wine. So maybe the chiddush over here is just in terms of the din of muktzah, but it has nothing to do with allowing you to put such things under your schach. You can't bring a raya from here. Okay, how about this brayta? It's not a brayta. Look at this psak. Noye sukkah. Anything that decorates the sukkah is not memayet the shear of the sukkah. So in other words, if the sukkah is 10 tefachim high, and then you want to put noye sukkah underneath the schach, so now you have a sheet that makes it lower, it's fine. Because since it's there for decoration, it's not considered to be a diras serucha, and it's all part of the schach. And therefore, it's not going to make it less than the height. And vice versa, let's say the sukkah is more than 20 amot high, putting things that are there for decoration doesn't lower the schach either. So it's not going to make any difference. And Rav Ashi says, but if you put it on the side, which means you can't use that area, so then you don't have room for Rosh HaRuba v'Shulchano. So then it would be Mamayit, because basically makes it unusable. Now, Minyamin, who was Avdei de Rav Ashi, it misha le'kitunta b'maya. So Minyamin, who was a servant over here of Rav Ashi, he got soaking wet, and he took off his shirt, and he spreads it over the sukkah to dry out. So Rav Ashi said to him, take that off of the sukkah, man, because people are going to think that we're using your shirt as schach. And a shirt, you can't use as schach because it's mekabel tuma. So Minyamin said, well, how would anybody be so dumb as to think that? I mean, they see that my shirt is soaking wet, it's dripping wet. I mean, they understand it's out there in order to be in the sunlight, right? So, I mean, look, I understand that people will always find something to talk about. I mean, but this is ridiculous. What are they going to say, that you're using wet shirts as schach and you're sitting over there with them dripping on your head? I mean, that's absurd. So how are you telling me this? Said Rav Ashi, no, what I mean is make sure that the minute that it's dry, you get it off of the sukkah. Yavshaka amina, I understand that there's no problem otherwise. Now, this is very fascinating. Because the mashma'ut is that if indeed it would have been on the sukkah and would have been wet, there would be no problem not to use it as schach either. In other words, my only problem, says Rav Ashi, I don't want people to think that we're using it as the schach. So in other words, suppose you put a soaking wet sheet on top of the schach and it's only put there obviously to dry out, so then it doesn't passel the schach. That's what it seems to be saying. Because it is not in this way. It's not the focus of your roof at all. And therefore, it doesn't pass on the schach. Because you're putting it out there for the benefit of the thing that you're putting out, not to use in any way for your sukkah. So it's unrelated to your sukkah. So apparently, there are those who paskin based on this, that anything that's on your sukkah that is not there because of the sukkah, it's there for other reasons, is not a problem. Why should it be a problem? You have a kosher sukkah with something on top of it. So what? Now this violates the norm of what you think, right? Your intuitive response. Then there's another issue. Are you allowed to use the sukkah as a clothes dryer? Didn't we just say a minute ago that it's muktzah and you cannot use a dover shel mitzvah in order to take it for something else? Some bring a raya from here. That shows that the isser of the muktza is only where the use is going to be mevatel its usage for the mitzvah. But if it doesn't get in the way of usage for the mitzvah, so who cares if it's muktza for the mitzvah? I'm still using it for the mitzvah. It's a kosher sukkah that has a sheet on it. So what? Well, you're using the sukkah for a sheet. So who said I can't use a sukkah for a sheet? I can't use a sukkah for a sheet if I'm not going to be able to use it as a sukkah. But I can use a sukkah for a sheet for anything else, and I'm sitting in the sukkah at the same time I have the seat on it. So what's your problem? Now, so this is a big machlokas achronim. And the fascinating kasha on all of this is that we're going to see later on that you're not allowed to sniff your hadas because it's mukta for the mitzvah. So you're certainly not going to be mevatel the mitzvah of lulav by sniffing your hadas, are you? So what would be wrong with sniffing the hadas? We'll talk about that when we get there. I just cannot resist telling you this. It's just hilarious. A beautiful, beautiful tshuva from Reb Chaim Zunenfeld. So they asked Reb Chaim Zunenfeld about what constitutes noye sukkah. Like, is noye sukkah, that's a mitzvah, is to put up like anything that you would want to decorate a sukkah, or does it have to be defined as something that's decorative? Now, the specific question was, this minhag of hanging pictures of Gedolei Torah in the sukkah. So he answered that anybody who doesn't have his walls covered with Gedolei Torah in his house is not making the sukkah prettier by putting up pictures of people in the sukkah. I don't care who they are. It's beautiful. Okay, but I mean, it does give you a sense. Okay, so what would be considered, in fact, a decoration, right? So it would need to be something that is recognized as decorative. So now the question is, I mean, you know, something that you'd never put up in your house. I mean, nobody would put up parchilei anavim on their house, right? So why is that considered to be decorative in the sukkah? So obviously, I mean, as all the achronim explain, that the nature of decorative is contextual. I mean, when you're sitting in a hut outdoors with it, you know, so over there, the whole idea of the sukkah is this concept of being out there with the, giving the brachas to the things in the world, bringing the geshamim, dreaming about the beautiful fruits and so on. This is what we say in our Hashanahs. So there, of course, it's considered to be a decoration. But I mean, do you consider waving around tzaddikim with your lulav? I mean, that's not part of the sukkah. There's a difference between that and Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zunenfeld's tshuva. Okay. Anyway, so here we get this beautiful story over here. Itmar. How far away from the schach can a noy sukkah be in order not to get to be like an ohel between you and the schach? So let's say you have noye sukkah that are muflagim imenu arba'ah. They're four tvachim away from the tzchach, which is a shir of a makam chashuv. So Rav Nachman says it's still kosher because it's still part of the tzchach. And Rav Chista and Rava Bar Avuna said, no, once it's four tvachim, then you can't view it as part of the tzchach. So now what happened was, Rav Nachman, who held it was kosher, remember that we had many times that Rav Nachman was the one who was in charge of the Reish Galus's home, right? All the Piskei Halachas were done al pi Rav Nachman. Now, the adversarial position, which was held by Rav Chista and Rava Bar Avuna, he had a great opportunity. And that Rav Chista and Rava Bar Avuna came on Yontif during Sukkot, they came to visit the Reish Galuta. So Rav Nachman saw to it to make sure that their chairs are put underneath the schach that's hanging down lower than four tefachim. We'll teach them a lesson. So he puts them under that schach, bedafka, right? So Agdino Rav Nachman besukah, shenoyam uflugen mimena arba'at tefachim, and they don't say anything. Ishtiku v'lo omer lei v'lo midei. So, and Rav Nachman knew the Reish Galusa was there, you know, when are they going to start talking? Ha ha. So I got you. So Rav Nachman says, well, look at this. I see that you people have realized that I'm right and you're wrong. Look at you sitting like a bunch of lemmings underneath a sukkah that is puzzle, according to you. They got him right back. Well, of course. Since we're shluchei mitzvah to come to visit the Reish Galusa, shluchei mitzvah, a potter from a sukkah. So what do we care that you put us in the house? We're sitting here also. So because of that, shluchei mitzvah anan. And shluchei mitzvah, putter him in a sukkah. Gotcha. Om Rav Yudah Amar Shmuel. Now the question is, In terms of sleeping underneath these canopy beds that we were talking about in the Mishnah, so what exactly would make the canopy bed an oil that would be pasul? So says Shmuel, if you have a kilah in the sukkah, so then a kilah is basically different from naklitin, and a kilah would be like a real spread out canopy. So the halacha over there would be that it's mutter, even though it has a gag, because it's spread out, and it's still mutter. Why? I'm only telling you it's mutter because you don't have a top that is 10 tfachim above the bed surface. So that would be okay, because since it's not 10 tfachim, so it's considered to be that you're still in the same rishus. You haven't made a separate rishus, so you're in your sukkah. So what's the difference if you have something over your head in the sukkah? Tashma, says the Gemara. What do you mean, what's the difference? It says, Beferish in a Braita. Hayashen bakila besukkah lo yatsa yedei chovato. It says, you're not yotze if you sleep in a kila. So how could Shmuel claim that you're yotze? No, didn't I explain to you that it has to be a kila that is not 10 tefachim high? The Braita is talking about where it is 10 tefachim high. So what are you asking me from the Braita? Well, what about the Mishnah that we're going to have later on? Hayashen tachat amita besukkah lo yatsa yedei chovato. If you sleep under the bed in the sukkah, space is very scarce in the sukkah, right? So sleeping under the bed sometimes is your only option. Says in the Mishnah, you're not yotze. Why are you not yotze? According to Shmuel, it's not 10 tefachim high. Well, Shmuel will already said, don't you know, that the Mishnah is talking about a bed that is 10 tefachim high. And that's the only place where it would be considered to be a separate rishus. Okay, look at our Mishnah, please, and tell me how Shmuel is going to deal with our Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Oshe peres agabe kinofot pisula. If you spread a sheet over the four posters, it's pasul. Why is that? What do you mean, why is that? Obviously, Shmuel is going to understand that it's talking about that you have very high posters. So you've got a canopy bed that is 10 tefachim above the surface of the bed. That I can show you that you're wrong, because aloka taniyaka, there's a braita that explains the Mishnah that says that that's not the case, because it says in the braita like this: the Mishnah that said naklitim are okay, what was that referring to? Two posts, naklitim are shnayim. The kinofot that the Mishnah was saying are usher, that's talking about four posts. So kinofot arba'a. If you take a sheet and you put it over kinofot, which are four posters, it is considered to be pasul. And if you put that same sheet over the two poster, naklitin, then it's kosher. Now dig this, please. And here's where we're going to show you that Shmuel is wrong. If and only if the naklitin are not 10 tefachim above the bed, mashma, that the case of the kinofot, which is possible under any circumstances, is even afapi she'en gvoin asara. And Shmuel claimed that it's only because they are gvoin asara. Okay, now what are you going to explain this away, huh? Well, says the Gemara, wait a minute. I mean, there's a different issue over here. There's one issue of height, and then there's another issue of the chashivut, of how much is it a real ohel in terms of its kviut. Now, the kinofot are very different than the case that we were talking about. He was talking about a kila, okay? A kila is not part of the bed. A kila is something that you attach to the bed in order to make it usable. But what we're talking about, the kinofot over here, is something that is made originally with the bed. It's a two-poster bed, and that means that it's kavua. And it, since it's kavua, so there Shmuel is moda. Even if it's not 10 tefachim high, it still has the chashivas of the kfius, which makes it into an ohel. What? But what about the case of a sukkah on top of a sukkah, okay? That's pretty kavua. And Shmuel said if it isn't 10 tefachim high over there, that it would be not a problem. So how come over here, if it's not 10 tefachim high, it is a problem? Excuse me, that's inconsistent with Shmuel's own approach. Because Shmuel said over there, kech shera, kach psula. Oh, come on, there's no comparison. Over there, we're talking about, we want to passel the bottom sukkah because you have another sukkah on top, okay? To make a kosher sukkah is 10 tefachim. Are we all agreed on that? Thank you. Over here, what you're trying to do is you're telling me that if somebody is in a different rishus inside of the sukkah, so he goes and sleeps in a closet in the sukkah. You're going to tell me he's in the sukkah? So now we're just arguing about what defines the height of the closet. That's all. So there the question of whether it's kavua, whether it's 10 tefachim, is a completely different issue. And halacha de la shavuya ola, to give it a din of an oil, even if it's less than asara, it's considered to be an oil as long as it's really permanent. Now, there was another psak from Shmuel that makes this a little bit more complicated. Because Omar of Tachlifa bar Avimi Omar Shmuel, and that if you're sleeping stark naked, not on sukkahs, you're inside of a canopy bed. So Shmuel says over there, you can stick your head out of the kila, and you can say Kriyat Shema. Why? Because obviously, look, you couldn't do that in a house, right? You can't be stark naked, stick your head out of the house, and say that I'm reading Kriyat Shema properly dressed. Thank you very much. Well, my head is properly dressed because it's out of the house. Well, heads normally are part of a body. And therefore, your body is naked. And you are not supposed to be in the presence of Lo Yirebecha Ervat Davar. Correct? Okay. So therefore, don't give me this business of you're being dressed. So why does Shmuel say that you are considered to be dressed? Obviously, because he holds that it's not considered to be a room, it's basically considered to be a beged, because it's not big enough to be a rishus, okay? So there Shmuel is saying that if you're inside of a kilah, then it would be okay to be considered to be covered. Now you'll tell me, but wait a minute, if you're covered, you need to have some kind of separation, bein libo la'erva. You can't have libo roa as erva, but as Tosis points out, Shmuel does not hold of that problem. Shmuel doesn't hold that there's a separate soul of libo roa as ha'erava. So he just holds you're being naked. So in this case, you're not naked because you're not being in the same rishus. This is just a covering. It doesn't change over your rishus. So they question this from a braita, metve. Here it says, beferish in a braita, if you're sleeping naked inside of a kila, you cannot stick your head out of the kila and read Kriyat Shema. So how do you explain that? So the obvious answer, the Gemara text, is Achabemayaskin, and we're talking about over here where the kila is 10 tefachim high. So over there, it is considered to be the equivalent of an oil, but Shmuel was discussing the other case where it was less than 10 tefachim. And by the way, it must be that that's the case, because look how the Braita continues. Miriktani sefa halamaze dome. What is this like, sleeping naked in a kila and being thinking that you could say Kriyat Shema? It's like somebody standing stark naked inside his house, and he's going to stick his head out of a window, and he's going to say Kriyat Shema. So why does the Braisa compare the case of the kila to the case of a house? Obviously, because it's saying that we're talking about a kila that is similar to a bias that has a din of a real ohel. Shema mina, that indeed is the case. Now, the halacha is, however, that there's still going to be a difference between a kila and a house, because a house does not have to be 10 tefachim tall. The house is, since it's kavua, like we said before, Shmuel is moda that it's not a piece of clothing. It's certainly an ohel, and therefore you can't stick your head out of it and say Kriyat Shema. It's certainly not going to be worse than the kinofot that we said before. And kinofot themselves, he said, is also considered to be kavua if it's less than 10 tefachim. So that should not be misunderstood as being dependent in 10 tefachim if it's really a true house, because even if it's kinofot, it's going to be more kavua than the kila. And indeed, there was a lishnachrina that said, the reason I want to continue, gentlemen, is because I would like to meet after Tisha B'Av so that we end up learning after Tisha B'Av. And that way, if we get up to the Mishnah, we'll be able to, even though it's uncomfortable, but so Tisha B'Av will be late. But the less we have, the better. So let's just get up to the Mishnah. Lishnachrina Amrila Amravirama Shmuel Mutar Lishon Bekilat Chatanim Besuka Lefisha Ein Lagak. Now there's a completely different way of understanding this. A Kilat Chatanim has nothing at all. It's basically a decorative kind of bed that it doesn't, remember the way that we learned it is that it goes up and down, up and down, up and down, so there's no area that has a gag of a tefach. And there, even though it is ten tefachim, but since it has, it's not like a normal kila has a little bit of a roof area, this does not have a roof, it comes mamish to a point, and it doesn't have a tefach on top. So over here, this is Shmuel talking about a different case. One case that Shmuel was talking about was where the definitive issue is whether it is the 10 tefachim. But this is definitive issue is, does it have a minimal roof? And over here, Shmuel says, afa pisha gavoa asara. These two things are not contradictory in any way. And Shmuel was referring to two different issues. If it has a tefach that gives it a shem oel, so then even if it's less than a 10 tefachim, as long as it's kavua. If it doesn't have a tefach, so then even if it's 10 tefachim, it would also be kosher. Ask the Gemara on this approach of Shmuel. Doesn't it say that if somebody sleeps in a kila in the sukkah, he's not yotze? And the answer in this version is very simple. Lachmai Eskinen in that braita, we're talking about a real kila, not a kila chatanim. And a real kila does have a tefach wide. And again, in this version, we ask from the same question, Tashma. Naklitin is two posts on a bed. Kinofot are four posts on a bed. If you spread a sheet over kinofot, like the Mishnah says, it's pasul. If you spread a sheet over naklitin, it's kosher, but only if it's less than 10 tefachim. Mashma, that if it was more than 10 tefachim, it would be pasul, even though you're talking about naklitin, and naklitin doesn't have a tefach. It just has a post, and then you put a wire or a broom over it, and you put your mosquito netting over it. So over here, it says Befer is not like Shmuel, that with less than a tefach, you still cannot have 10 tefachim height. And if you do, you will be in a different oil. Or Barnea, you're falling asleep. So therefore, we have a contradiction to Shmuel from here as well. Answers the Gemara. Naklitin are different because they're kavua. What? A minute ago, we said naklitin are different because they're not kavua. Now you're saying naklitin are different than the kila because they are kavua. If they're kavua, so then we're back to the original question, that they should be the same as the kinofot, and they should be posel, even though they're less than 10 tefachim, huh? Kavua, gentlemen, is relative. But we're being overly simplistic over here. Vis-a-vis the kinofot, they are not kavua, because relative to kinofot, they're not as kavua. They can be removed from the bed. But in terms of the kila, then relative to a kila, of course they're kavua. Dorash Rabba Baravuna, mutar lishon bikila afa pishe yesh lagag afa pishe gavoa asara. I hold that you can sleep in it even if it does have a tefach roof, even if it is ten tefachim, there's no problem. Oh, so who's that going like? That must be going like Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda's general halacha is lo ati ol arayu mevato ol keva. If you have something that is permanent, which is your sukkah, in terms of relative to these little things inside, which is your kids make on Shabbos, you know, these little things to play under and so on. That's basically what you're talking under. And Rav Yehuda always holds that if something is just being used temporarily as an oil, it's not going to be mevatel, the main oil that you're in. Because we learn in the Mishnah later on that Rav Yehuda says, listen, when we were learning by the Zakenim, and we were sleeping in the sukkah, we would sleep under the bed. There was no room for us in the Rebbe's sukkah, so we slept under the bed. So Noagina Yino Lishon Tachat Amita Bifnei Azikenim, and they didn't say anything, he goes on to say, because apparently there's nothing wrong with sleeping under a bed. Say, if you're sleeping under a bed, you're not in the sukkah, are you? So, I mean, if that's the case, why didn't Rabba Bar Avuna just say, Halacha Rabbi Akiva? I'm going to have to make up this whole thing about the Naklitin and about how tall it is and how wide it is. No, because if he would have said, Halacha Rabbi Yehuda, I might have thought that that is a unique halacha about a bed for a very beautiful reason. Beds are slept on their top, not on their bottom. And therefore, you don't view them as an ohel at all. because something that is made for its top and not for its inner space does not have a shame of an oil at all. So I would have thought that that's the only reason that he's postulating, like Rabbi Yehuda, that you can sleep under the bed, because a bed does not constitute a different oil. So have aminani milimita de la gaba asuya. It's made for sleeping on top of it. But akila, which is made for sleeping within it, maybe Rabbi Yehuda would not be matir. Maybe emalo. Comes along Rabba Baravuna to say no. Time in a review it is really because of Lovati Olaroi Umavatal Ol Keva. And because of that, I don't care. There's no difference between the Mita or between sleeping in a Kila that even has 10 tefachim in height and even has a full tefach in width. It's only temporary, and therefore it cannot be Mavatal, the Sukkah itself.